Blog Talk Radio.
So I'm coming for it, and I feel alright. bless you. God bless you. Good afternoon. I came to tell you what Jesus said. Repent of your sins and be baptized. We are glad to be with you another Saturday afternoon on Global Gospel. And certainly we have a special lineup for you today. And we're going to let you hear some more music. And we'll be right back. God bless you. God bless you. And good afternoon. I came to tell you what Jesus says. Repent of your sins and be baptized. We are glad that you will join us today. I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend, and we want you to know that we don't own the rights to any of the music here that you hear on today, but we pray that as a blessing to you, for this is just another day that the Lord has kept us. It's another day that he woke us up in time and not eternity. It is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion, they fail not. Great is his mercy towards us. We thank you for joining us. www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel. And we are here every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. live. We want you to know that we're also syndicated on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, and Google Play. We're also on social media. You can reach out to us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and Tumblr. If you reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr, you can go to the direct link to our show every time that we are on, and also as it is archived. Our number in studio, I do want you to take down this number because I want you to dial in and shout us out in a few minutes. 619-924-0800. 619-924-0800. Our address, if you would like to write us, P.O. Box 5331, that is in Hempstead, New York, with a zip code, is 11550. Our email address is globalgospel17@gmail.com. Again, we are excited to be here today, and we want you to reach out to us as well. We thank God for all of our listeners in the North, the South, the East, and the West. Wherever you may be, we thank God for you, and for you. Those that are in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, the Carolinas, Florida, Michigan, Illinois. We thank God for you. Those that are in Canada, the West Indies, South America, Europe, Asia. We thank God for you, you, and for you. For those that are joining in for the first time, you can find our theme scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. And it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And today we came with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the gospel is the good news, is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew and also to the Greek. It's for the rich and for the poor. It's for those that are downhearted, oppressed, those that are ready to give up on life. know that the gospel is here for you on today. And we present to you today Jesus Christ. And there is none like him. You can search all over and you will find that there is none like him. And we want you to continue to join us for the rest of the hour because we do have a special guest that will be joining us, and we're going to be discussing a few things that concerns me, you, and everybody. And certainly we want you to be enlightened, inspired, and encouraged on today, because there is so much that is going on in the world that we all need a little encouragement from time to time. And so we are going to take a break, and in a few minutes we will come back, and you will hear from our special guest. This next selection, if you read our theme, you'll know what our topic is for today that we are sharing. But this next selection is with the Bishop Carlton Pearson. Stay tuned and be blessed.
I stretch, come on, my hand to thee, come on, no.
Once again, we are back. This is Global Gospel, and our special guest is here in studio with us on today. And certainly we just had to take you back just a little bit because they informed me yesterday. They said I'm old school. So that gave you a little bit of old school. God bless you. How are you?
Fine. God bless you, man of God.
Okay. For those of you that don't know, our special guest today is the Bishop, Dr. Overseer, Bishop Walter Kearse Jr. And certainly he's joining us all the way from South Carolina, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about where he's from and what he does. But he's the overseer of the Gospel of Deliverance, and he's a world-renowned preacher, evangelist, and certainly I would say probably in my family, he's probably the senior minister. Amen. And so we thank God that he took time out of his busy schedule to join us today. Now, how's it going down there in South Carolina?
Man, if it get any better, I couldn't stand it. God has me sowing, knowing, and flowing.
I came to
a point in my life where I was about to give up, and God is just beginning. Yes, indeed.
I'm so
privileged and pleasured by the opportunity to speak over this wonderful broadcast.
And certainly we are thankful to God that you're able to share with us today. How about you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'd like to kind of work a little bit and then tell them about me.
Okay, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Is that all right?
That's
praise
all right.
The Lord. I'd like to just do a prayer. God, we thank you for the opportunity. Draw these listeners all over the world close to your bosom that they might feel your heartbeat. We want to thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your presence. Now, I know that you had talked about the importance of fathers, but I would like to just begin with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he condescended from the celestial into the terrestrial, and he scooped out clay, and he made a man. And then he blew into that man's nostrils the breath of life. But long before he made the man was created. And for the first time, we know about fatherhood. For the first time, God becomes a father and he becomes a king. And he says to this man, multiply and replenish. I want you to be productive, is what he says to this man whom he had made in his image and in his likeness. And when he blew into him, the spirit of life, that man became a living spirit or a speaking spirit, because God is a spirit and we are made in his likeness. And so God came on one day and was kind of like looking for him, and he couldn't find him. And he said, Adam, where are you? And he said, well, I hid myself because I was afraid. And he said, well, did you eat of what I told you not to? And the thing that kind of baffled me there, Reverend, was that God is all-knowing, that his eyes in every place, he should have known where his son was.
True.
God, for the first time, had become a father, and now his son had become a bastard. And he said, Adam, where are you? And it came into my spirit that Adam had gone somewhere God had never been. God had never been in sin. God had never been in darkness. And so he got in a hurry. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. So he gets two wings and cover his face, and two wings and cover his feet, and two wings he did fly. And he flew down into the womb of a virgin. And so great was the impact. When he stepped out of that virgin, he split history down the middle. He set AD on one side and BC on the other. He brought angels out of heaven. He brought shepherds out of the Judean hills and wise men from the eastern country, crying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star and have come to worship him. It really got my attention when I saw how God gave of himself to redeem his wayward son. Now, I want to kind of just move away from that for now, because the church is in somewhat of a mess. It's it's a whole different church now, whole different Pentecost, whole different, you know, charismatic movement. It's the generals, the fathers are dead. They're gone home. And what we have now is grammar. All we have is enunciation and pronunciation and explanation. And we have so many bastard children because they refuse to be fathered. You cannot instruct them in the way of the Lord. And the Word of God said there are not many fathers. And I'm reminded of when God rejected Saul, and Saul was yet on the throne, and he had ordained David to take his place. David didn't immediately go to the throne. Instead, Saul gave him a commission, said, listen, he gave him an assignment. And the Word of God says in Samuel around 17 or 18, he went and he did a fantastic job. He didn't say, well, man, you know, you're not with God as you ought to be, but he admitted, premitted, submitted, and committed. And there's 2 minutes saying, well, you know, God is not leading me to do that. But you do what you're told when you're under a father. A father can be one who's prophetic. Nothing happens without a word. Your destiny, if someone doesn't speak into your life, you'll never step into your destiny. And so there's so many you cannot father now. They'll tell you right off, man, God is leading me. God is telling me what to do. Hmm. And so the apostles said, now are we the sons of God. Why? Because we admit, we premit, we commit to authority. And if you are not under authority, you can't be in authority. And there are too many that you can't speak into their lives. They can't take a word of rebuke. And you have to live by a word of rebuke as well as a word of exaltation. And so I've found as an overseer and as one who travels constantly that it's very difficult now because so many seek their own and they don't walk in obedience. And we got so much new stuff out there now. You know, I have so many calls. How can I get into my destiny? Just stay in obedience. If you stay in obedience to the Word of God, you're going to wind up in your destiny. You're going to wind up in your destination. You're going to wind up in your purpose. And I'm thinking that it's so important. I look at David's life, and when Samuel went to anoint David, his whole family was there. And so he didn't even know who he was going to anoint him. He let Jess know of his mission, and Jess said for the other boys. And he said, are these all the children? And he said, no, I got one outside. And I just want to speak to this radio listening audience. I want to speak to all the Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and everybody. You may be a great singer, a great preacher. You may be a great prophet, and you have a great move. But we are not all God's children. God's got somebody in prison that he's going to get out that's going to become a community shaker. He's got somebody out there on the street still selling themselves that he's going to anoint and they're going to become a mighty prophet. And so Jeff said, no, these are not my only children. I have another one out there. And so he sent and brought him. And God said to Samuel, rise and anoint him. Now here's something I want to leave with you. When Samuel anointed him, the scent went all over the place. The oil went everywhere. The scent got in the fabric. The scent got in the clothes, in so much that one could believe that they were anointed until they got out in the wind. And there are so many who just have it in their fabric, and they don't have it in their character and in their spirit. And therefore, their demeanor is wrong. So as soon as they stepped out, the wind took away that scent. But the Bible said, when Samuel anointed David, the anointing remained. It stayed. He had a staying anointing. God raised him up right there before Saul. Saul became vexed and sent for David after hearing that he played prophetically, that he had a prophetic anointing on him. He sent him, and David played the devil out of him, and he threw a javelin, and David said, "My God, I need to leave here." And he ran for his life, and he wound up in a cave. And his father, the same father that was there, when he got anointed. And it's good to have that kind of supervision when God anoints you to preach, when God gives you your assignment, so that you can receive instructions. So that, you know, how can I hear except I have a preacher? And the one thing that we need to make sure of, a man of God, is that we are under the right man of God, because he has our word. You can't make it off anybody's word. Your faith, your dynamic, miraculous faith is going to come from your word. And God has placed your word in your shepherd's belly. He carries your word. And so when you walk in your word, inconceivable, unbelievable things are going to happen. So the Father, knowing that the anointing is the very fullness of God, went out looking for his boy. The father knew where to find him. And so the father looks down in the cave and he says to him, "What are you doing in the cave?" This is the father. David was not a bastard. A bastard is somebody who won't accept instruction, rebuke, reproof. You know, he said, What are you doing here? You are anointed. What in the world are you doing in this cave? Come out of this cave. Come out. You belong in the castle." Now, I heard something some time ago, and I'd like to share that. That when God anoints you, you need a father. And you know, my favorite character, like someone else I hear, is Batman. Man, I'm a Batman fan. You know, I love Batman. Because he has all these gadgets, you know what I mean? He got this belt. If you throw him out a plane, that cape is going to open like a parachute. And Batman, you know, he has that rope. And he's got stuff, man. Batman's got stuff. And mm-hmm. So I found that the thing that amazed me most about Batman was that Batman had Alfred. He had somebody in his life that could deal with Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? There's some people that don't understand what it means to be mantled, to carry the anointing, to have responsibility. They just want you to be preaching all the time. You understand? To be Batman all the time.
Right.
When we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we are the vessel. We're not the oil. We're the vessel. We're not the oil. But they tend to want us to be something that they have imagined. And I love that. So here David is. He had somebody in his life that understood him. The father said, "You're my boy, man." But he also honored him as a king. And we need people in our lives when we have divine appointments and we're on this journey for God, understand both sides. You know, to understand us, to understand when we're Bruce Wayne and to understand when we are Batman. And the father looked at him and said, "You need to come out of this cave because you're destined for the castle." And every time we turn, there's a father. David walked in humility, had great honor and respect for his father. I don't find that today, Pastor. I don't find that you have a lot of young ministers that don't know A from Bullfrog. They just have grammar.
Hmm.
And as I said earlier, men of our mighty men of God, I came into the church when I was 17 years old. I watched limbs grow out. Eyes open. It was common for miracles to take place in the church. You had giants. You had all types of mighty men of God. And it was nothing to them to call the fire. Elijah said, let it be known in heaven today that not only am I your servant, but that there's a God in heaven. And send the fire. Send the fire. And we have a fireless, you know, church now. We are getting away from some significant things. We're getting away from holiness. We're getting away from righteousness. We don't know how to commit, submit, premit, and admit. And I'm finding this. I'm finding this so much as I travel, there's a difference. As I travel, I find so much rebellion. I find so much headedness. And so much God told me and God showed me until it's difficult to minister and to present Christ. Amen. Man, I just thank God you allowed me this moment.
Well, I thank God that you are here and you hit the ground running, and I know better than to preach behind the preacher, but I thank God that you have shared with us, telling us all that you did about fatherhood and about sonship and about the oil and the fire, and letting us know that some people have the scent and not the oil, and some people aren't anointed. And I took a few notes just in case I have to, you know, use this about committing, submitting, and admitting. And that's
yeah.
3 points. That's one sermon right there. Commit, submit,
yes,
and admit. That's one sermon right there. So we
yes.
thank God for all of that. And I do want
to
give out.
You have to commit to authority.
All right.
You have to admit when you're wrong. You know what I mean? And when I talk about commitment, I'm talking about going up to the Empire State Building and jumping off and get halfway down and say, well, I made a mistake. But you can't do anything about it because you've committed. You
right.
know, to me, that's what commitment is. I've already jumped. So to admit, premit, commit, and submit to authority. And that is to be obedient to God's word. You can't miss your destiny. You cannot miss your purpose. You see, seasons come and go, and purposes remain. Amen.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Help yourself, preacher. So we do want our listeners to shout you out. And so our number here is 619-924-0800. 619-924-0800. I'm going to take a brief break. And certainly I want you to shout out Bishop Walter Kearse, Jr., Gospel of Deliverance, Incorporated in Warrenville, South Carolina. Brief break, 619-924-0800. Stay tuned to Global Gospel.
God bless you, man.
There are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real.
Again, we are back. 619-924-0800. We have a caller. God bless you, caller.
Good evening, Minister Lamar.
Good evening. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you? This is Margie. This is your mom. I just want to give a shout out to my cousin.
Yay.
Walter Kirk. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Getting better all the time. I'm sowing, knowing, and flowing.
Yes, I hear that. I was listening to your sermon, and I'm glad to hear your voice. I haven't heard your voice since 2016, and we're saying that God has really brought us through some years, and it's good to hear your voice and to know that you're still as strong as you were back up in the days.
Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I'm so delighted to hear your voice, and
mm-hmm.
I just thought it was a wonderful thing to get in touch with the man of God for this moment. God allows all opportunities. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, he has brought us a long way. It's nice to hear your voice again, Sonny.
That's Sonny. That's me. Love you. You know who you're talking to, don't you?
Well, the listeners, well, the listeners don't know that. They don't know. They know Bishop.
Yeah, that's what my mother called me, Sonny Boy. Come here, Sonny Boy.
But we stick with Sonny. I stick with Sonny, even though you can have the other type, but you still the Sonny to us. All right? Love you.
Amen. And I'm glad to be there.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, baby.
Thank you.
Again, our number is 619-924-0800. If you want to catch the bishop while he's online, 619-924-0800. And we just really thank you for that rich word that you have shared with us. And I want you to tell our listeners your service time. We thank God for Sister Hillman also, who helped make possible, and your staff, your media staff, who posted on social media as well. We thank God for each and every one of those. Are there any? Is there anyone you'd like to shout out and give us your service times on tomorrow? We know that have navigated through this pandemic.
Yeah, my baby girl is here, and we've been sowing, knowing, and flowing. And we have not closed down. We've been in the fight, but we're going on, and she's going to give you the information. Yeah.
All right, baby girl, tell us your name.
Hello. My name is Wyetta. My name is Wyetta. And good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Some of our information, our services start at 9:30 in the morning. That's our Sunday school time. We are on live. We broadcast live from Facebook. The Facebook address is Bishop Walter Kears Jr. We also have a website. You can reach out, upcloseanddowndeep.org. That's upcloseanddowndeep.org. And you can shoot them an email at bwk39ministries@gmail.com. We have so much in store. We are so busy down here in the South. But if you want to tune in, we're like I said, we're on Facebook Live Sunday mornings, Tuesdays starting at 7:30, and on Fridays. And that's, again, Bishop Walter Kears Jr. is the Facebook address.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Wyetta, for sharing those that information with all of our listeners. And we want you to be mindful of that, because we do want you to reach out and continue to hear the preaching of the gospel. I have another caller. God bless you. God bless you, caller.
God bless you, Reverend Townsend, and to the bishop. This is Marlon calling by way of Long Island, New York. I was down in South Carolina some years ago. I did not get a chance to meet the infamous Bishop, a.k.a. Sonny, but from your message today, I feel like I've known him a lifetime. So thank you for that message. Thank you for those words of wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you, man of God.
Also, I am the son of Margie and a brother of Reverend Lamar.
Oh, my God. All right, sir.
All right. He's the musician, and he informed me to stick to preaching, not singing or playing music. So I follow instructions. I follow instructions well. 619-924-0800. Again, I thank you, Bishop. And there's one thing Sister Wyetta mentioned about Facebook, and I was listening on Facebook a few weeks ago, and you alluded to this fact about basically it comes back to this about fatherhood and fathers, and we lost a lot in 2020, but God is still good. And so you said something about succession, and briefly, I don't want to take up all your time, but can you briefly tell our listeners, because you've already straightened out the church, those in the church, out the church, around the church, in prison, you've taken the gospel to every aspect on today. Can you tell us about succession briefly before we end this segment?
I think it was successor.
Successors, okay.
A successor, that anytime that God anoints any person to do a work, when you have been See, you're chosen before there's a how, when, where, or now. And when you began in ministry, I don't know anyone who's ever completed what God called him to do. So you need a successor, as Moses needed Joshua. And you need that successor long before you begin to decline. You need someone who can take it to the next level. And God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. And Moses crossed, took him across the Red Sea, and Joshua across Jordan. So it's very important for leaders to look out among them and find people who have no particular personal ambition, because Elisha did not have a personal ambition. He never knew he was going to be Elijah's successor, you know. And so you look out and you find one. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit will aid you in this, but it's important that successor that has your spirit, that shares your vision, that serves you, that's not seeking to be right or uppity or to correct you, but amen. Wow, God is leading you, and that's important. And I have a wonderful successor, and I thought the Lord was calling me home, you know, a year ago. And he's doing things for me now that I thought he should do for me when I was much younger. And I said like Daniel. Daniel said, God makes me sick. When God got through dealing with him and telling him what he wanted him to do, Daniel got down in the bed sick. I mean, he was sick. And so there are things that God is doing. God is just trusting me with land and property and businesses. And I said, God, you have a sense of humor. And so he told me, he said, you're going to need men. You're going to need women that you can invest in. And that's so important, because no one gift can perfect the church. And so I began to pour in. Even my baby daughter is one of my adjutants, a minister, and I pour into them frequently, you know, how to carry on. So it's important for all pastors, particularly pastors, not to have assistant pastors, but to have successes. To know who your success is, even if they don't know. To have God point that person out and says, that's who you're going to pass the baton to. Amen. That's important.
Amen.
And I've seen many great churches go to ruin because the wrong person got a hold of it. You know, double vision. To be double-minded is to come up with another vision behind the pastor as well. Amen. Man,
amen.
I'm enjoying this here. You made my morning.
Afternoon. Listen, we'll come back for part two, and certainly we're going to reach out to baby girl as well, and we can have her on and some of the other people in your ministry. Would you like to shout any? And we want you to save your strength for tomorrow, because we know you're busy. So do you have anyone that you would like to shout out from your church on today, from your ministry?
Well, I want to shout out to the Calvin family, and I want to shout out to some very special people, Bishop Dietrich and Brina, and to, you know, my daughter is a bishop, Bishop Sonia Renee. You have a cousin that's a bishop, and she has her own church.
All right.
And
hello,
I want to shout out to all the saints and all of my Facebook listeners. God bless you. Enjoy your closest bosom until you can feel his heartbeat. Amen.
Awesome, awesome.
Hallelujah.
Again, so once again, we thank you. Thank you for all that have called in. Thank you. I have Sister Carter in Las Vegas. Thank God for you. Thank God for everyone all the way down in South Carolina, the connection, Aiken, Warrenville, where your church, those in your church area. We thank God for you, the entire Kears family, and Gospel Deliverance Ministry. And certainly we're going to ask the bishop to give us a prayer before he leaves, and then we'll be on for about another 5 minutes or so. But we do want you to share in prayer with our listeners again before you leave. And again, I thank you for telling us about sowing, knowing, and flowing, and committing and submitting and admitting and the anointing and the oil and the scent. We thank God for all of that and so many nuggets. And as you are a father in the gospel in this time that God has left you here, we thank God for that to continue to minister to his people. Amen.
Amen. Thank all you yours. So much. Again, I thank you for the opportunity. And I want to drop another nugget.
All right, help yourself.
Jesus standing in the midst of 5,000 people invited his disciples to do the impossible. When you say that he is the Word of God, when we say in the beginning was the Word and the Word was of God, and when we say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you're talking about Elohim. When God speaks to you, he's not speaking because he's lonely. He's not speaking because he wants to have conversation with you. God is a creator. When God speaks, he creates. When God speaks, something happens. It's not for conversation. It's for creativity. It's for miracles. It's to bring about something that needs to be brought about. Every time God spoke, something happened. Let there be. Let there be. He wasn't having no conversation. God's not going to come up and say, how you doing today? How's your mother? How's your auntie? It comes to speak because by the word of his mouth, he created the heavens and the earth. And when he got ready to raise Lazarus, he just spoke a word. Lazarus, come forth. So when God speaks to you, he's not having conversation. He's creating something that was not. And so I wanted to drop that off. Here he is in the midst of 5,000 people, and he says to his disciples, you've been with me. Association brings on the simulation. You're capable of the miraculous, impossible, incredible. Set them down and feed them. And they said, whence have we so much to feed so many? And he said, one of the disciples said, well, Lord, there's a lad here. And he said, bring him forth. Now, I've heard many preachers say that what Jesus did was he broke bread and he fed 5,000. And just for the sake of argument, I beg your difference. I don't think he broke the bread. I think he took the limit off of it.
That's good.
I think
all right.
He took the limit off of it so it could do what it could not do before. You understand? The Christians have so many limitations, but let me tell you something. When you walk with God and you walk in his presence and you admit, premit, commit, and submit, you know what I mean? You're walking dimensionally, and you become miraculous-minded, and there's no limit to what you can't do. And so I wanted to leave the listeners with that before I pray. Father, draw us close to your bosom until we can feel your heartbeat. Give us to lay our head in your lap, your chest, at your feet, anywhere in your vicinity, and receive of your divinity. We come to you because, in spite of everything, you know how it is, who it is, and where it is. Oh, God, teach us how to love you and how to worship you. Teach us how to be cognizant of your voice. Bless all of the listeners, you know, who's sick. Let miracles take place. Let healings take place. Let something out of the ordinary take place to a listener, someone who's come to the end of human vision and the end of human dreams. Oh, my God, someone ready to give up. I pray that you would touch them as only you can. Oh, miracle worker. Oh, my great God, I worship you. Touch that woman's limb. Touch the person that just had a stroke recently. You know how it is. And I give you praise and thanks in advance for what you're going to do. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, preacher.
Amen. God bless you again, all
God
of our
bless
listeners.
You, man.
We love you all the way from New York to South Carolina, and I'm coming that
love
way
you,
some sooner or later. We want you to know that those that missed the beginning of this episode, that the episode, and so you can go back at 2 o'clock, and there's so much that nuggets that we were given today that you can go back and listen again and again and again to what the Lord has to say concerning you. Remember, this is www.blogtalkradio.com/global-gospel every Saturday from 1 p.m. until 2 p.m. And I'm your host, Reverend Lamar Townsend. Our special guest was the Bishop, Dr. Overseer of the Gospel of Deliverance, located in Warrenville, South Carolina, Bishop Walter Kearse. And we're going to leave you with this hymn of the church today, old school. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. God bless you until we meet again. Bread of heaven,
amen.
Feed me,
amen.
Until I want no more.
Bread of heaven. You are my strong deliverer. Strong deliverer. Be thou. Be thou soon. Guide me over thou, great Jehovah. Pilgrim to this old world. Listen. I get weak sometimes. I get weak sometimes. I get weak, but